Welcome, everyone, to episode 377 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek. It is 6:01 p.m. on Friday. Free agency is open. So we are going to be hanging out, giving live reaction to the first hour or so. And I don't know what to expect, but it's going to be a good time. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We are being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. And we are doing this live on Locker Room. So if you want to listen in live, you can comment and we can even talk to each other during the episode. Please download the Locker Room app on iOS. And yeah, we'll be doing more of these, especially as the season gets underway here.
And we're off, Brian. We already have the first one in house.
I see it. Yeah. All right. Well, joining me today is a very excited Morton Jensen. So Mort, break the first signing.
Well, Goran Dragic has apparently spent just 2 minutes negotiating with the Miami Heat, and has agreed to a 2-year deal to return. That's impressive. In 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That is quick negotiation. Pat Riley does quick work, man. Wow. That is impressive.
Stunning, stunning. Well, yeah, so it's a 2-year deal, second-year team option, which is no surprise. The financials haven't come out yet. But I think this was to be expected after their run to the finals and the important role he played in there. The 2-year second-year team option gives them the financial flexibility for 2021. So it's the same situation that Andre Iguodala signed when he came over from Memphis in February. So, you know, if especially after this Bogdanovich deal falls through for the Bucks, if Giannis is pissed and decides to leave next summer, the Heat will have the ability to sign him pending whatever else they do over the coming days.
Yep. My God, I'm sitting here following Twitter, so I heard about 5% of what you were saying, but I'm sure it was great. It's always great.
Good.
I have a theory here, Brian, because usually when it's one minute over free agent opening, we have all the deals. Mm-hmm. And because of what happened with Bogdanović and the Bucks, I have a feeling that teams were like, whoa, mm-hmm. let's try to delay some of the things that we're doing here. Like, maybe let's not announce that we've signed 17 players within the first 5 minutes of free agency. Let's scale it back. So maybe the good stuff will come in about 45 minutes. And also, I just want to apologize. You guys are probably going to hear my phone buzzing on the table here alongside me. And that is fully intentional because we have alerts from both Shams and Voj. We don't want to miss a thing. So yeah, here we are,
and we don't want to be tricked by a fake account. This hour will be successful if we don't get duped, but I can't promise anything.
And we have terms.
Wow. Okay, that's a big deal.
Oh my,
$37.4 million according to Shams. So yeah,
2 years. Yeah, and of course a team option on the second one. So that's. Here's the interesting thing. This could be front-loaded. I'm not reading that it could be mm-hmm. it is front-loaded, mm-hmm. but it could be to just give him that boost for this year. So let me ask you something, Brian. Do you always feel, or do you also feel, rather, that when you have these deals where it says, like, 37.4, you always wonder, like, why the point something? Like, why does it always have to be so specific? Like, sometimes you go into contracts, you see some guy is earning, like, $46 million, $800,000, yada, yada, and $2 at the end. Like, really? Really?
I haven't done the exact math on the Heat now that the cap is frozen at 109. But, I mean, they had the option of creating cap space if they had renounced Dragic and Crowder. I did not expect them to because, Pat Riley even came out after their finals run and said, like, we're going to take care of our own guys. So it was pretty clear that they were going to bring these guys back. But I wonder if this is going to let them operate over the cap still. Like, maybe that's why they used that specific number. So they'll still have the bird rights on Crowder, but and then they'll have, a non-taxpayer mid-level exception.
Right.
Oh, Myers Leonard, according to Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, he's also re-signing with the Miami Heat.
Two-year deal,
second-year team option. So,
oh, surprise, surprise. Yeah.
So, I mean, look, this is the Heat's game plan. They're going to try to run it back. I mean, I would not be surprised if Danilo Gallinari, a sign-and-trade, is at least a possibility. But
right.
Otherwise, they are just going to run it back and keep their books fresh and clean for 2021 so they can make a run at Giannis or one of the other big names, which I think is the right thing to do for them.
I would agree. So, Brian, we have a lot of people following us live right now, which is great. Thank you for joining. Thank you for the support, obviously. And we have some questions, or at least statements. And Jordan Eddy is saying, I'm hoping Pistons either sign Wood or sign and trade Wood. And here I'm hoping he's talking about Christian Wood, because otherwise it would just be a little bit. Yeah. So he's what, 25, I think, 24, 25 years old. I think he fits with their rebuilding, like, age line. You know, I've seen some people on Twitter say, well, does he really fit, like, age-wise with Sekou Doumbouya? And I have the same, like, approach to Christian Wood as I have with Zach LaVine. Like, they're still young enough to still have significant growth in their game. Like, they could easily be aboard a rebuilding process. So mm-hmm. I would hope for them that they retain him. It seems like that's in the cards, because, like, they can offer him more. Like, that was the team that gave him a chance. So Christian Wood, like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, he's kind of the mystery box player of free agency because, you know, he was in a limited role for really most of his first couple of years, and then he finally got more run in Detroit this year, especially after the Drummond trade.
Right.
So, you know, you're paying him not based on what he's done so far. You're paying him on potential moving forward. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you could easily... Charlotte, especially now that, you know, that the theory was if Wiseman fell to them at three, or if they traded up for Wiseman in the draft, they're probably out of the running on a big in free agency. Well, they got LaMelo Ball, which is great, but, you know, now you got to figure they're going to prioritize a big in free agency, whether it's Wood or Montrezl Harrell.
Man, I'm thinking, I seem to recall there was some weirdo before the start of the season who actually had Christian Wood as his MIP choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I wonder who that weirdo was. I don't remember. But that was a good call by that weirdo, though. Really good call.
That was indeed.
We also have Joshua Allen asking, any news on the Celtics and Hayward? And obviously, there are just a lot of Gordon Hayward rumors floating about. We have heard everything from, oh, he's going to re-sign with the Celtics for a longer deal, to he's going to the New York Knicks. And now the word is he wants to go to the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, so Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe tweeted this out 10 minutes before free agency started. Hayward wants to play in Indiana. He's told the Celtics that the Pacers are offering Miles Turner and Doug McDermott. Danny Ainge wants Miles Turner and either TJ Warren or Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
God bless Danny Ainge.
Oh, boy. So, guys, just a heads up. You know, we have a couple people requesting to speak. We can't really do that this time around. If you want to stick to the comment section, we would really appreciate it, because this is a podcast recording, so we are also recording this locally. We are trying to solve that technical snafu for the future, because we would love to have you on. We would love to hear your thoughts. But just today, we are probably going to have to stick to the comments, which I hope is okay. We'll definitely do the best that we can. Yeah, I mean, so this is a slow start. We also have Facundo Campazzo going to the Denver Nuggets, and I totally butchered that name, which makes me think, Brian, that Monte Morris could be available.
Who? Andy Glockner, who is a former writer for Sports Illustrated, tweeted a interesting three-team potential trade earlier today, in which... I forget the exact details, but I know it had Monte Morris going to the Knicks, and I thought, like, oh, that's actually a very interesting idea. I'll see if I can. This is not anything official. He's not reporting anything. This was a hypothetical, you know, this would make sense for all sides type thing. Here it was. All right. So it was a Denver, Indiana, Knicks. Denver would get Oladipo. Indiana would get Gary Harris. And Dallas's 2021 first via the Knicks. And the Knicks would get Monte Morris. And then Knicks extend Morris for 3 years, $27 million. That was his hypothetical, which, again, I like that idea. But we'll see. It sounds like, so this is Michael Grange of Sportsnet in Toronto. He says, Fred VanVleet is going to meet with the Raptors and one or two other suitors Saturday in Chicago. Toronto has not reached out to Tristan Thompson, a sign they are confident of keeping Ibaka. Also seems like OG Anunoby is likely to be extended, which is interesting.
It's interesting in the sense that it's pretty obvious, I think. He's so good.
Sure. I think it's more a similar situation with Bam, where, of course, he's deserving and he's a long-term part of their future, but if they're trying to maximize cap space, you know, they are, Toronto and Miami are like the two most mentioned Giannis destinations, despite your best attempts to lure him to Dallas. So I kind of figured they would hold off on the OG extension until next offseason, just in case this Giannis thing actually pans out. But, you know, hey, it's 12 minutes past the hour. Giannis is technically allowed to sign a Supermax, so...
Well, don't speak that into existence. I have been trying to speak something else into existence for about 6 months now. I want the Doncic Antetokounmpo duo. I want it as soon as next summer, and no one is going to tell me different. I want it so badly. I want Dallas to have like a Euro team because I think we deserve it.
That is fair. So we got financial details. Myers Leonard's getting starting salary on $9 million per Tim Reynolds of the AP. Which, again, this is probably just... I'm sure they have it worked out such that you know, they're going to stay under the luxury tax and still be able to re-sign all these guys. I do wonder if it'll start to get tight when we're talking about Gallo sign and trade, but we'll see what else the Heat have up their sleeves there. More, do you want to go into this Bogdanović situation while we wait to see any other deals get announced here?
So here's the thing. I want to go into the Bogdanović situation, but I don't know what's up and down. That is such a strange situation. I mean, they basically made an agreement without having him in on the agreement, or maybe he's covering his ass. I don't know. This is all weird. Like, what is your take on it, first and foremost, and why are people blaming Vooch, of all people, to be solely responsible? I am so confused about this.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like... I want someone to do an oral history on this when it's all said and done, because we need to know who was the original leaker. Was it the Kings? Was it the Bucks? Was it Bogdanović's agent? Because that will change the perception of it. I mean, all we know so far is that on Monday night, Woj tweeted that they had reached an agreement on a sign and trade with Bogdan Bogdanović, which, of course, is not allowed, as we referenced in an episode earlier this week. Because, again, teams in theory weren't even allowed to speak to free agents until 15 minutes ago. So it sounds, you know, based on Brian Windhorst, among others, has reported, there was a lot of anger throughout the league about, you know, teams were very, very upset that the Bucks announced.
No, they were pissed.
Pissed, okay. The term. That was the exact term. All right, yeah. So, you know, whether this is... like someone trying to save face and the deal falling through, or like whether they really did, you know, maybe the Bucks and Kings really did agree to the terms of a sign and trade, but no one thought to ask Bogdanović if he would actually sign in Milwaukee for that price. Like, that part I don't know, but what's clear is, you know, they aren't going to get him, it seems, because they waived Ersan Ilyasova, who was going to be the big salary matching component in that trade.
Yep. Oh man, this was one of those really tough blows to the Bucks, because he and Giannis, you know, Bogdan and Giannis, they're pretty tight. So I have to feel that this is not going to work well towards convincing Giannis to stick around, at least. I don't know if it's a deal breaker, but it's not an asset right now. It is certainly something they would have to overcome to some extent. Mm-hmm. And while I'm talking, I'm just noticing right now that Mark Stein is reporting is that strong indications that the Nets will be securing commitment from the sharpshooting Joe Harris despite considerable external interest. Mm. Well, I mean, that makes sense when you have Kyrie Irving and when you have Kevin Durant, and maybe down the line you might have James Harden. It might be good to have a shooter just to spot up and benefit from all the attention coming from those guys.
Well, now they have two shooters because they also got Landry Shamet during the draft.
That's true. Well, in this league, you can never have enough shooters.
That is very true. But yeah, I mean, Joe Harris, you would have expected to see him get a lot of interest throughout the league, but it seemed the most likely outcome was always going to be him going back to the Nets. Because, you know, in theory, look, on paper, that team could be one of the best teams in the East, regardless of whether they trade for James Harden or not. So, you know, we've talked about this repeatedly for the past few months now, that the teams with cap space this offseason, Atlanta, Detroit, Charlotte, New York, Atlanta is the only one that you can even maybe talk yourself into becoming a playoff team this year. And it's still not, you know, that if Joe Harris goes to the Atlanta Hawks, they're not winning a title next year. Like, things would have to break right for Brooklyn. I'm not saying the Nets are the title favorites by any means.
I'm very glad you said that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't go into this season as the title favorites, but, you know, did the Miami Heat go into last season as the favorites to represent the East in the NBA Finals? Like, weird stuff happens in the NBA, especially next season. Like, especially this, you know, eight teams haven't played in 9 months. Two teams were playing last month. Like, there's either going to be a lot of rust or, you know, some guys are just not going to have the time off that they probably need to be at top speed right away. So
right.
It's going to be like all of these teams dealing with different circumstances, things that they're not used to. So it would not surprise me at all if next season also has a less easy to predict outcome than we would have expected going into it.
Right. So I just have to read this tweet. This is from Mark Deeks. It's very serious stuff. He says, "My thoughts and prayers are with all you American NBA pundits who might have to stay up beyond midnight tonight. Must be very hard for you to do once and once only." I can relate. It's after midnight right here.
He knows I was up till 3:30 on draft night. He can come catch these hands.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you, Brian. I feel so bad. I am definitely not up past 3 about 120 days a year. No, no, no sorry.
All right, so Tim Reynolds of the AP says the Heat are, quote, in the game with Jay Crowder, but it remains unclear what Crowder will decide. But remember, the stated goal is clear. They want to run it back. So, yeah. Sounds like, yeah, you know, Dragic and Leonard are both guaranteed coming back to Miami. Crowder, you know, he's having conversations clearly, but it sounds like that is less of a sure thing. And that would be a big loss for Miami if he doesn't re-sign.
I agree. It was a major coup for them. And the funny thing is, when they made that deal initially, like, all the focus was on Andre Iguodala. And you and I immediately said, you know what, that's not the big get here. That's Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is the get here. But for some reason, the media just spun it as the Andre Iguodala acquisition, which, that was always strange to me. Like, clearly, Jay's the better player at this point. I mean, just as a floor spacer, he's not a bad defender, even though he does have lapses. That was a huge win for him. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Dave DeFore does point out, you know, big expiring contract could help Miami trade for a star down the line.
Right.
So right. That could also explain the Dragic, especially the Myers-Leonard getting $9 million.
Yes, maybe that's something we should generally cover. So sometimes teams will pay a startling amount of money for a guy that is obviously not worth it. And that is simply to put money on the books that makes those contracts, well, not makes the, those specific contracts easier to trade, but it makes the entire trade facilitating game easier because you then have contracts of certain amounts. It makes it easier to match salaries in larger scale trades. And actually, a part of that, you know, we saw that last year with the Knicks. They didn't end up trading someone like Bobby Portis or Taj Gibson, but they could have. And the reason they just paid all that money to those guys was to keep themselves in the game. You know, it was one thing is was just basically a babysitter situation for 1 year, but it was also in case a deal was available and they needed to have the you know, enough contracts to make it worth their while. So sometimes you'll see it. You know, Daryl Morey famously in Houston tried signing Nene to, what was it, $10 million a year with very little guarantee as well. And the NBA said, uh-uh, there are limits. There are limits. You know, Nene is 465 years old. There's no way in hell he's worth that amount of money. So they vetoed it. So yeah, we're going to be seeing some of those contracts.
Yeah, and Bobby Marks of ESPN has run the numbers for the Heat after these two deals. He says they still have flexibility with the $9.3 million non-taxpayer mid-level and $3.6 million biannual exception. They now have 12 players under contract with a projected $20 million below the salary tax or the luxury tax line. So they still, I mean, plenty of room to bring back Dragic and round out the roster if they want to go that route. You know, I'm going to keep hammering the Danilo Gallinari to the Heat until it doesn't happen, just because I think it it makes the most sense for both sides. But, you know, it takes two to tango, and we'll see. I don't think the Heat are the only team that's going to be interested in Gallo. I'll say that much.
Right.
know, if another team comes up with a better offer, it's up to OKC to agree as well. So we'll see what happens there. Woj tweeted earlier today, you know, look, this free agency class, to say the least, is not anywhere as good as ones we've had in years past or ones that we're expecting next year. The big prize on the market is Anthony Davis, but, you know, fresh off winning a title with the Lakers, no one expected him to leave. It is 6:23. He has not re-signed. So if Lakers fans are listening and haven't seen Woj's Twitter, don't worry, he's going to. They just said he's going to take his time. This is how his agency works, first of all. And, you know, he's evaluating his options. It's, you know, I'm sure they're going to be willing to sign him to whatever type of deal he wants, whether it's a 1+1, a 2+1, you know, the full 5-year max. But more, what would you do if you're AD? What type of contract would you want?
Oh, easy. I want a 2+1. Easy. Because, so, you know, 35% of the cap eligible in 2022, which means a significant rise in pay. Because the salary cap has more or less been established for that year, or at least that's the projections right now, is that it will rise. So if you sign a full 5-year max now, I mean, you'll be leaving money on the table. And his best friend and pseudo-agent LeBron James has more or less made it a priority to not take pay cuts in the NBA. He's telling his guys, his fellow superstars, don't take pay cuts. Get everything you can, which is fair advice. That is pretty sound advice. So in that regard, I would be absolutely shocked if AD doesn't end up taking a 2+1, then opts out, and, yeah, re-signs. And now we're on the subject of the Lakers. Ooh. Wes Matthews has signed with the Lakers.
That's a good signing.
It is. And also, Vogue reported that Campacho has agreed to a 2-year deal with the Denver Nuggets. So I'm sitting here crossing my fingers that that means Monte Morris is in play, because I think there are a lot of teams that would give him a chance. And I would love to see what he could do outside of Denver, because he was good in Denver. And I kind of want to figure out if he is a product of the system or if he'd be great anywhere, because I'm leaning towards the latter and I want confirmation. So I'm hoping this means a Monte Morris trade. But Wes Matthews to the Lakers, you know, if they get more shooting, they already have traded for Dennis Schroeder. They have upgraded. They have upgraded this summer. Or summer, this offseason. I keep doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they traded Danny Green for Schroeder. Danny Green, the number 28, for Schroeder. So they had a hole on the wing.
Yeah, 28, Matthews. I think, right? 28.
Yeah, So Wes Matthews is going to walk right into that. I mean, I'm assuming, like, you know, they could probably promise him a starting role right off the bat. And, you know, he started every game, I think, for most every game. Every game he played for the Bucks last year. Like, he's, you know, he's not what he was a few years ago. You know, he's not going to give you 15, 16 a night. He will on occasion, but he averaged a career low 7.4 with the Bucks last year, shot only 39.6 from the field, 36.4 from three. But, you know, look, every team wants 3-and-D wings. The Lakers just added a pretty good one. I mean, Wes Matthews was one of my, like, better case scenarios for the Sixers with the taxpayer mid-level, but this is the advantage the Lakers had in free agency. They're one of the contenders that could offer the non-taxpayer mid-level. We haven't seen the financial terms of this one yet. I would be surprised if he got the full 9.3 non-taxpayer mid-level, but, you know, maybe he did, or maybe they offered him enough money and have some left over that they can spend elsewhere. Either way, that's a good signing for them.
Did you see, I don't know if you saw the tweet from Chris Haynes, but that's it. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. He posted a picture. He said, free agent guard Wesley Matthews sent me this picture. And I think it's a jersey or some shorts with Lakers on it. Looks like shorts.
Yeah.
That's, oh, these are ballers, but that's a baller move. I mean,
that's one way to get the news for sure.
Yeah.
Tim Reynolds also says, Jimmy Butler called Goran Dragic last week and suggested physical violence could be coming his way if he didn't return to Miami. Dragic said, Jimmy's a tough guy. I didn't want him chasing my ass. So,
this dumb league. I love this dumb league so much. If that's
just,
perfect.
Just threaten your teammate with physical harm, and it's a good way to get them to re-sign.
Well, in that case, should teams then go actively after James Johnson?
You got to figure he's not long for OKC, probably, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that could be a good move. So we have the financial details on West now, which is, well, that's pretty decent. 1 year, $3.6 million.
All right. So that's the biannual exception, I believe.
That would seem correct. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, so that's a good... Okay, so they got him for more than a minimum, which is what he was on last year with the Bucks. But, yeah, that's a... Wow. That is a very good signing for them.
It is. It's very strong. Like, and here's the thing. People are going to point at Matthews' age and whatnot, but it aligns pretty well with LeBron. So, you know, the Lakers are in no rush to get younger necessarily. I mean, they already got younger with Schroeder, but generally speaking, they're looking for guys who are in prime or past prime, like who are willing to take on, you know, a contract for lesser money than normal. So, you know, expect the Lakers to sign a fair bit of players who aren't young guys, is my point.
Right. I mean, you know, they are very much in a win now window. They just won the title last year. You got to assume. Right. They're not looking to take a step back with LeBron turning 36 in a month. So, yeah.
Holy hell. Sorry, but we have something here. Uh-oh. So, Campacho, who played for Real Madrid, Real Madrid is to get a record $6 million buyout to release Campacho to sign a two-year deal with Denver.
Wow.
$6 million. That is, and NBA teams, if memory serves, are limited to paying 700,000? Is it 700,000?
I do not remember offhand, but that, I could promise you it's not 6 million.
Right. And honestly, it's such a low amount that that's one of the areas I think the league should kind of, you know, grow up in. Like, you have substantial talent outside of the NBA. It would only behoove you, as a league, to get the best players into the NBA. And if you can only allow teams, you know, a buyout, like, hey, here's $700,000 or whatever to buy out one of the best players in Europe, like, you're not helping your own case. I would definitely up that amount. I mean, why not?
Yeah. So, what do we think... let's go back to the Bucks now that we know they're losing Wes Matthews. Mm-hmm. They're not getting Bogdan Bogdanovic unless, I mean, at this point, I think it's safe to assume they're not getting him. Maybe things change, but, you know, especially after waving Ersan and all of the brouhaha about the illegal-sided trade or illegal contact beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So, they still got Drew Holiday. They traded, you know, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and basically their entire draft collection for the next half decade to get Drew. So it's, you know, you're still rocking with Drew, Chris Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez. How would you feel right now if you're the Bucks about, you know, kind of how this last week has gone? And, like, are you feeling good about Giannis signing the Supermax between now? I think the deadline is December 21st.
Oh, I am not feeling good about anything until his signature is on that piece of paper.
Yeah.
Not at all. You know, the price for Drew Holiday was substantial. And again, this is tied into we are actually paying for, you know, for the return of Giannis as well. The thing is, nothing's guaranteed. And if they screwed the pooch here with Bogdanovic, that's not going to help their case. What if Giannis takes that as some sort of sign that he's not meant to be there or whatever? Like, maybe he just realizes I can't be with an organization who screwed up this intensely, that this is flat out embarrassing. I'm going to stick around here for 1 year, and then I'm going to, you know, just slowly but surely say no thank you and sign with Dallas. So specifically, of course. No, but I'm not feeling confident about anything at this point. I mean, that signature has to go on the paper, and then we can talk. So in the meantime here, Vogue is reporting forward center Drew Eubanks has agreed to a new 3-year contract to stay with the San Antonio Spurs. I don't assume that is for very much, though.
No, I cannot. God damn you, Bogdan Bogdanovic, for ruining this first hour of free agency where Drew Eubanks is one of the first signings reported because teams are now scared to get in trouble.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know what? I saw quite a few tweets from people basically saying, yep, the Bucks just scared NBA franchises into releasing names. So we were right on the money with that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had this happen, you know, on Monday, too. The trade moratorium lifted at 12, and we were all like, 12 at once here. Let's expect the deals. And then 12 hours later is when the Drew news broke, and then also Bogdan an hour after that. So maybe teams are just being a little more strategic here in terms of when they announce these deals. But, you know, I genuinely do think Fred VanVleet has not made a decision yet. I don't think he's taking meetings if, you know, if he knows he's going back to the Raptors. I'm surprised we haven't heard more about Gallo and Bogdan, not Milwaukee division, because they are two of the other biggest free agents on the market. So where do you think they should go if given the choice?
Wait, so Bogdanovic, you said? Or who?
Bogdan and Gallo.
Oh, Bogdan, Gallo. Okay, yep. So many names floating in your head right now. So, well... So Gallo, I think the best fit, obviously, is Miami, but that would have to be through a sign-in trade. And right now, Miami is certainly operating as if they're going all in on the Giannis sweepstakes next year. So that makes it a little bit difficult, even though you could argue, even if you were to trade, you know, sign and trade for Gallo and he came there, you could argue that you could totally flip him, like, next year to a team under the cap. Like, that wouldn't be a problem. So he would be... the perfect guy for that organization. I a lot of people have him, you know, shacked up a little bit with Atlanta. I don't like that fit necessarily. Yeah, I like the on-court fit, but I don't like the age difference there. If you're Atlanta, you don't want to build a team where you're heavily reliant on a 32-year-old. Like, you don't. You have a 21-year-old superstar. You want to get some guys who are in... You know, in that age group, still someone who make the team better immediately, but not someone who'll be, you know, 35 in 3 years. Like, I don't think that's a strong play. So he needs to go somewhere where the roster is more, age appropriate, and I'm not necessarily saying he should go to a contender, but a winner.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, you know, I wrote a thing for Forbes about why sign and trade for Miami makes the most sense for Gallo, and I think, you know, they had trade negotiations ahead of the deadline with OKC in February, and it sounds like, according to the reports from Zach Lowe, that the talks broke down because of, you know, Gallo wouldn't necessarily sign an extension that was amenable to Miami's terms, which I'm assuming means 2-year deal, second year team option, much like they did with Vegas and what they just did with Dragic and Myers Leonard at the start of free agency here. Mm. I mean, I wonder now for Gallo, looking at the free agent market and seeing what Miami just did in the playoffs, if he's more amenable to a 1+1 or, you know, a 2-year deal with a second year team option, because then
right.
he still gets paid at least for next year. He, you know, he's joining a legitimate contender. I mean, the reigning Eastern Conference champions, a team that you have to assume is going to be back in that mix next year. And, yeah. you know, they have some contracts to throw to OKC for matching purposes, at least Iguodala, Kelly Olynyk. So, you know, I don't know who they would give back. Like, my dream idea for them was a double sign and trade for where Miami sends back Derek Jones Jr. But we'll just have to, you know, we'll see what happens there.
You DM'd me with that idea, and I was a little bit dismissive because Kelly Oubre was there. He's no longer there. He's been traded to the Golden State Warriors, so there wouldn't be that competition in front of him. So Derek Jones Jr., who is a free agent, like you said, you know, that he wouldn't be a bad option for OKC.
Yeah.
Oh my. Well, okay, two news hit at once. Vincent Goodwill just reported that Dwayne Bacon has agreed to a 2-year deal with the Orlando Magic. That's pretty ho-hum. But Adrian Wojnarowski is saying, this isn't an easy free agent market for centers, but here's a former All-Star getting some early attention tonight, per sources. DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh.
Wow.
Wait, where are you seeing this?
The mummy has resurrected.
Am I? Oh, yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah. No, this is not a fake vote. I have the right guy specifically, like in a news feed on my tweet deck. So I follow that one, and that one is on the up and up. So don't worry.
Oh man, hey, the Sixers need a backup center. I'm down. Let's boogie.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, I mean he can still shoot. You know, he got so much better as a shooter. That I don't think has left him, like, because he wasn't a guy who got much lift on his jumper as is. So even if he's not the DeMarcus Cousins of old, like, he can still step out there and take 5-6 threes a game, and he's still probably 6'11", 280.
Yeah.
I don't think that's changed. That could give you a couple buckets a night. It's the defense I'm worried about, because it's both an ACL tear and an Achilles tear. What was the same combination of injuries to Klay Thompson, just in reverse order. Mm-hmm. That is just so devastating for a player's agility, mobility, flexibility, everything that ends in illity. So it's not great.
Yeah. No, I don't think he'd be a realistic option for the Sixers, just because you need, you know, if you're looking for a backup big behind Embiid, who you're assuming you're just penciling him in to miss 15 to 20 games, you probably want someone with a slightly better health track record than Boogie. Like, if he signed
someone
a minimum
like
deal,
Al Horford, you guys should go after someone like Al Horford.
We don't say his that name on this podcast anymore. We don't have to talk about him ever again.
Actually, we do, and for a serious reason. I know I shouldn't bring this up, but I want to. I think it's important. I think it's time that everyone leaves Anna Horford alone and stops, you know, sending her death threats because her brother didn't fit well with the Sixers. Could we agree on that at least? I think that's
I mean, I did not interact with her at all.
Oh, I know.
His
yeah, I'm not saying you sent her.
No, I know. But okay. Yeah, her Twitter account seemed to be not among the favorites in Philly. So yeah, just leave her alone. Like, Al Horford is not Philadelphia's problem anymore. Yeah. Just like, if you were following her, if you were like hate following her, unfollow her. Your Twitter experience will be no worse. It will, in fact, be a lot better. Just leave her be.
Yeah, because it's just weak everything else. But okay, so after that, let's get back to the matter of hand, which is it's somewhat quiet with the big names.
Yeah. So do you want to let's talk Warriors, because last time we spoke, we were still waiting on the diagnosis for Klay Thompson, and
yeah.
It sounded bad when the news trickled out Wednesday night, but we didn't get confirmation until yesterday afternoon that he does, in fact, have a torn Achilles. He will miss the entire upcoming season. I mean, there were multiple Warriors reporters on The Athletic in particular who were just like, this is it. This is it for the Warriors dynasty. You're not coming back from this. I did the Oubre thing. Is that finalized or is it just it's final, right?
So honestly, I must admit I never really check up on things being finalized by team accounts, because usually when Woj or Shams have it, I always just anticipate it going down, and if it doesn't go down, they'll correct my knowledge about it. But so far, it sounds like it, right? We haven't heard anything that should suggest otherwise.
Yeah, so Woj, last night he reported they were finalizing a trade. So I don't know if it's official yet, but it sounds like they're going to make this trade. They're right. Sending a top 20 protected first round pick to OKC for Kelly Oubre. Their tax bill is going to explode. I think it goes up to $130 million, somewhere around there. If the pick doesn't convey, they'll send two second-rounders to OKC. So what did you think of the Warriors' response to this Klay Thompson news?
That was a great response. I mean, I think they would have done it regardless. Mm-hmm. I want to be very, very clear. I think they would have done it regardless. And for them to not having to sacrifice their Minnesota pick, huge. Huge. I mean, that is one of their biggest trade chips. For them not to having to relinquish that in that deal, because you and I DM'd after that news broke, and you're like, that's got to be the Minnesota pick, right? Mm-hmm, it's got to be the Minnesota pick. We're like, yep, we really felt high and mighty about ourselves' opinion there, because like, yep, definitely Minnesota pick, and nope, 2021, and even a protected one at that. So that's interesting. I think that was a pretty good haul. I'm glad you brought up the Golden State Warriors, because we have a question, which admittedly a little late to hear, from Eric Stortle, who asks, who are some likely taxpayer MLE options for the Warriors?
Oof. My first question in response to that is, how much are they willing to pay in tax? Because at this point, they're so far over. I want to say every dollar they spend is taxed at, I don't even know how much. Like,
I don't even dare think about it. No.
Astronomical amount. So, you know, spending the $5.7 million taxpayer MLE is probably going to cost them, in actuality, at least $30 million, if not more.
Whew. Well, I mean, then you better get someone good. Uh-oh. What? Oh, no, Detroit. Oh no. What are you doing? Okay, so the Detroit Pistons just signed Mason Plumlee, which would have been fine if he hadn't just received a 3-year contract worth $25 million. I'm really hoping Woj made a mistake and just forgot the period in between the two numbers.
No.
Oh, that's horrendous.
He sure didn't.
That is horrendous. Wow.
So, well, I mean, the first response is Christian Wood's not coming back to Detroit.
Well, they still have cap space.
Not much. Not enough to sign him.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they were at like $15 million or so.
Oh, was it that low? Oh, well, that's... Yeah, because they took on some money. Okay.
They took on Ariza.
They did. So, this is... Yeah, like our friend of the podcast, Mason Ginsberg, is saying on Twitter right now, this is ... bad.
Yeah, and Grant Hughes of Bleacher Report asks, are these American dollars? Which is a fair question.
It certainly is. I maintain that Vosh has made a mistake. It has to be 3 years, 2.5, which isn't even legal because that is below the minimum. God, that's horrible. Like, he was already overpaid. He was overpaid in Denver.
They also had just acquired Dwayne Dedman yesterday, right? They traded Tony Snell and Kyrie Thomas for Dwayne Dedman?
Yes, they did. Well, you know what it means, though? You know what it means? It means that I might actually get my fantasy target for Christian Wood. And that is a return to the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It seems more likely than not. I mean, it's because, look, Atlanta doesn't need bigs. Even after trading Dedman away, they still have John Collins, Clint Capella. They just spent the number 6 overall pick on Onyeka Okongwu. So, I mean, the Knicks, Is it going to be the Knicks?
Put that evil on my guy. So no, Eric, by the way, says that the Oprah deal is not final yet.
Okay, yeah. So it sounds like that will be finalized shortly, but not official.
So another friend of the podcast, Duncan Smith.
Oh, boy. A Pistons guy.
A Pistons fan. Just
is he tweeted, still?
I don't know. He's probably blocked by everyone in the world at this point.
Yeah.
You know, he just tweeted a picture of some liquor. I don't know what it is.
Crown Royal.
There we go. Yeah. So that's the state of the Pistons. We had earlier Jordan Eddy, asking questions in here. Pistons related questions. I have to assume that he's a Pistons fan. So Jordan, drink up, buddy.
That's. Well, let's talk. What does Mason Plumlee bring to the table?
Yeah. Well, he does bring athleticism. He does bring some defense, rebounding, and some passing. You know, he is a guy who can play in the dunker spot. He is a guy who can pass out of the post. He is a guy who can have the ball in his hands and feel somewhat comfortable with it. But not to the point where if you give him the ball like 18 feet from the basket that he'll necessarily do something great with it every single time. You know, he is limited. I mean, he just is. He doesn't have shooting range. There is that huge component that just always puts a ceiling on him as a player. So, yeah, this is not great. I mean, look, I understand that this contract it's not even $10 million a year. It's 3 years, $25 million, but like it shouldn't even be half that. Like it should be like a third of that.
Yeah, I mean this goes back to the point we've been hammering for a while now. It's like when people like Robin Lopez are available for $4 or $5 million a year, Rashawn Holmes last year signed the 2-year.
I was just about to treat
that, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know why you're spending it, because it's not like Mason Plumlee is young. He's 30 already, and Detroit is in the very early stages of a rebuild. Just got the number 16 pick and spent it on Isaiah Stewart, and then also has Dwayne Dedman. I mean, like, not that Dwayne Dedman factors into their long-term plans, but neither should Mason Plumlee.
Nope.
I mean, I guess the only good thing you can say here is that, you know, it's what, $8 million or so a year. So if that should be relatively easily flippable down the line in terms of like salary matching fodder. But for their sake, I hope at least that last year is a team option or not guaranteed or some. I mean, because I just can't imagine many teams like you're not going to be able to turn around and flip him in 6 months or what, I guess.
Nope.
Not even 6 months, 4 months, whenever the trade deadline is, given how many teams are trying to keep their books clean for 2021.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this because I'm thinking, like, they drafted, as you know, Killian Hayes. And I'm thinking, like, was this an attempt to give
him like a pick and roll option, like to really get into, like give him a good screener. But I just feel like it would have been better for them to at least try to retain Christian Wood instead, because he can at least shoot. So if you were to throw him into pick and roll situations with Killian, he would be both a roll option, but he would also be a pop option. Whereas it's so easy to read what Plumlee is going to do. He's going to dive every single time. I'm confused. I'm just really confused. And yeah, it's we have another Pistons fan, Nicholas Henkel, who says, "What an absolute dumpster fire move." The player is fine. The years and the money are not, which is the perfect way to put it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Well, okay, the Pistons came out of the gates slowly and poorly. Yeah.
It's hard to understand the rationale. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish with this move? Like, if you're the Pistons, you could just suck and then have a great shot at Cade Cunningham next year. Yeah. Like, the play.
They just invested $25 million in being bad. This is intentional tanking. You know what? I like that explanation so much better. Let's stick to that. Let's say this is their intent all along. Make it like seem like they just overpaid for a guy, but ultimately in the front office they're like, no. We're going to sign really poor guys. So next year, Cade Cunningham, baby, we're coming for you. And in which case, good job, Pistons. Great contract.
but I don't even know. Mason Plumlee is at least like a NBA rotation player. So like,
yeah.
Not that he raises their ceiling substantially, but he will slightly. So like, if their goal was to just be very bad next year, I don't know that signing him to that contract is going to help them.
It won't.
they're just going to be slightly less bad, but still. Oh god! I mean, well, look. Yeah. Hey, if they keep Blake Griffin, they'll have Blake Griffin, Mason Plumlee, two good passing big men in the starting lineup. I guess Dwayne Dedman's your backup center. You don't have to rely on Isaiah Stewart. But then, why are you spending the number 16 pick on a third string center that you don't intend on playing when you're a rebuilding team? This is hard to. That one's hard to wrap our brains around. You know, I think because cap space is so limited, we're not going to see the Timofey Mozgov, Luol Deng, 4-year, 60-some-million-dollar contracts that we usually do. But, like, this is the 2020 equivalent of that type of deal.
Yep. I couldn't put it better myself. Yep. So, former Rocket, Isaiah Hartenstein, is drawing interest from Denver. I was kind of waiting for Hartenstein to get attention elsewhere after the Rockets waived him, which I really never understood why they did. Maybe that was just Morey basically convincing Tilma Fertitta, no, this guy sucks. This guy sucks. Let's get him out of there. And then hopefully he knew he would take over the Sixers, and then here in a couple hours, Isaiah Hartenstein has been signed by the Philadelphia 76ers. That would be great, because he's a player. He can shoot. He's big. He can really rebound. And he's not bad on the ball for someone who's like 6'11", 7 feet tall. There's a lot to like with Isaiah Hartenstein. So I'm hoping he's going to get some sort of buzz. By the way, Brian, this might be a good moment to just ask you, like, who in the U.S. Are the biggest suppliers or manufacturers of juice boxes? Because I kind of think that we should get a contract like this for next time we do a live free agent thing.
We need 3 years, $25 million. Yeah. We should just call up Troy Reaver.
Oh, boy. Man. Yeah. Yep.
So, all right. So at least we have our first terrible contract on the books. That's good to see. Well, we'll see. I mean, Meyer's letter deal is also not great. But look, this is the benefit of doing two-year deals with second-year team options or non-guarantees. It's like, if you aren't going to have cap space, fine, whatever. One year is not the end of the world. But like a team like Detroit, and is, you know, they're so early in rebuilding. Like, this is just not how you use your cap space if you're a rebuilding team. Taking Trevor Ariza to get the number 16 pick and then sending out a heavily protected pick, that's good. That's a good use of your cap space. You're getting an asset which you can, you know, put together some semblance of a young core. I was telling, I DM'd with you and was telling you, you know, I mocked the Knicks yesterday because they waived like basically everyone they signed last summer. And some Knicks fans got defensive about this.
Right.
Because I was mocking, like, okay, they used all of that cap space. They flipped Markieff Morris, got a, or yeah, they flipped, it was, well, Marcus Morris and got a pick.
Marcus Morris and got a first round pick out of it.
Yep. And then that's it. That's it. They didn't get anything out of Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, Wayne Ellington, Elfrid Payton, go on down the line. And that's just a bad use of cap space. Right. Like, okay, cool. They didn't sign multi-year deals. They have a ton of cap space this offseason. That's great. But, like, you still had all of that space last summer, and you got nothing out of it except for one very bad season. Like, that is wasting space. Like, this is – if you're a bad team, instead of signing free agents who aren't going to help you that much and, like, you're so far – away from contending, why are you signing these guys to begin with? Just say, hey, we'll take on your bad contracts. Do what OKC is doing. And say, all right, yeah, you have Al Horford? Sure, we'll take it. Just give us a first. Give us another pick. Give us the rights to someone who's actually good and could really help us down the line. We'll take your bad deals.
Yeah. Yeah. That has become, rather, a cornerstone of rebuilding processes, really. It's just such an easy way to extract assets because you basically benefit from the mistakes of others. And this is the NBA. So there are plenty of mistakes. See Pistons Detroit right here.
Right. It's just, it's wild. That, I mean, so many GMs have laid out this exact blueprint over the last 5-10 years that it's wild to see these bad teams continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. But then again, that's why they're bad teams, I guess.
Yeah. 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 It sucks, but you're absolutely right. My God. So it's actually a little bit quiet now. I did not anticipate it being this quiet. Like, I knew that this was a risk simply because of the Bogdan Bogdanovich situation. But, wow. Teams right now are maybe just biding their time. I mean, we're coming up on 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. for me. There we go.
Yeah.
So I maybe that's like maybe that's a thing where they just go, let's just wait an hour. Let's wait an hour. Then we're gonna believe that's more believable. We knocked at someone's door at 6, then we had an agreement at 7. That sounds good, right?
Well, I mean, I think this also could be a factor of the market at play. Not a ton of good free agents, also not a ton of cap space around the league. So it's, you know, teams can't offer more than either the non-taxpayer or the taxpayer mid-level. So it's, you know, free agents are having to decide, do I take the money with Atlanta or New York or Charlotte? Do I join a winning team? If so, they're all offering me the same amount of money or the same two amounts of money, and just where do I prefer to go? And, you know, maybe, like, that is stretching out the decisions a little bit, as teams are probably also having to balance, okay, you know, now a guy like Wes Matthews is off the board. How do we recalibrate? Who are some of the other guys that we're going after for that same price? Because we, you know, we don't have the flexibility to go spend willy-nilly.
Right. So this is the most free agent story ever. Kevin Durant's brother, Tony, has apparently said on Instagram that Serge Ibaka is headed to Brooklyn. Yeah. This is when free agency is at its best, when it's like random accounts popping up who has a some sort of connection to a player or someone saying, oh, I know this. I'm going to be votes right now, and I'm going to call it. And you know what? He might just go to Brooklyn. I'm not going to sit here and say he won't. Everything's in play. But he might also not. You know, we don't know, but it's getting people up in arms like, oh, man, Serge Ibaka, I thought he would stay. This is lunacy. I will say this. If he goes to Brooklyn, he would add some how to say this politely, some very necessary mental stability to that roster.
Yeah, some toughness to it too.
That too. Just he will be a positive interaction in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bobby Marks of ESPN just said, and this is going back to what we were just saying, here's an early trend in the first hour of free agency. If there is an offer from a team, agents are making the smart play of grabbing it. This is not a market to negotiate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, clearly Mason Plumlee's agent did that.
I would think so. Yeah. And we have not heard anything on Gordon Hayward, right?
Nothing. I mean, again, that's probably, you got to figure that's going to be a sign and trade to some extent. I do think we've talked about the Indiana possibility in particular. Like, it makes a lot of sense for both teams, you know, with Miles Turner and something going back to Boston. It's just a matter of what the something is. Right. I do not blame if Danny Ainge is really saying we want TJ Warren or Victor Oladipo for Gordon Hayward. Like, Miles Turner, he doesn't have leverage because Gordon Hayward can just walk. Yeah. Like, this is, you know, sided trades are not, we get the better players. And it's, you know, it's like what happened with the Sixers last summer and Jimmy Butler. It's like, all right, cool. He had the leverage. He could walk. We'll at least salvage it and get Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
Getting Miles Turner, if you're Boston, like, that fills an obvious need. He's a good player. He could fit very well on that team. Like, you could argue they would be getting better. And then whatever other filler, like, Turner and McDermott for Hayward seems like a pretty fair value trade, to be honest.
I think it does, yes. And like, you know, you and I have been skeptical of Miles Turner, but in Boston specifically, I think he would make a lot of sense because he wouldn't have to be overburdened by certain things. Like, he would just take threes, block shots, and that's it.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, it sounds simplistic, but that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, they would still, Kemba, Jaylen, Jason Tatum are still going to be your three high usage guys. You also have Marcus Smart. You know, you've got some of these young guys coming up now as well. Romeo Langford, Aaron Nesmith that they just got with a 14 pick. Like, they don't need Miles Turner to be a 15-point-per-game scorer, which is great because he's just not that type of player. Great shot blocker, super athletic, can rotate laterally. Like, he can cover pick and rolls well. I mean, he would fortify their defense, which was already very good. And, you know, having a platoon of him and Daniel Theis, like, that's a reasonably good alternative when you're going up against the likes of Joel Embiid in Philly and then Brook Lopez or the Lopi we'll see maybe in Brooklyn or, you know, Bam in Miami.
Right.
Like, I think that's a notable upgrade for them. You know, you can never have too many wings in the NBA today, but, you know, Hayward's a luxury for them. Like, when he signed with them 3 years ago, that wasn't the case because they had just drafted Tatum and they, you know, Jaylen was going into his second year, but those guys developed probably more quickly than they would have expected them to. Mm-hmm. And then Hayward became, okay, you know, you're not going to be the number one option on this team. Like, Jason Tatum is just better than you. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just how it is. Oh, my God.
Detroit. I know. I was waiting for you to be done. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, my God.
So we agreed that the Detroit Pistons like centers, right?
What?
So the Pistons have just signed yet another center, this time to a 2-year deal, Jahlil Okafor, because the world makes no sense anymore, and I am apparently just a figment of my own imagination because this is happening. What? What is going on? This is what the Knicks did last year with power forwards.
It really is. It really is. They're going with a 5-center lineup.
I mean, They do realize, Brian, the Pistons do realize, right, that it's wings that are important in today's league, right? They understand that.
Wow. We just, I'm curious to see what the terms are. If this is anything more than a minimum deal, Oh my God.
Yep. That is
well, bad. I guess here's one thing I'll say about Jahlil Okafor. He's used to tanking. He's very adept at being on a very bad team. So, as we were talking about earlier, they might just be like stealth tanking. Signing Jahlil Okafor might be the way they do it.
I mean, hell, Kate Cunningham for the win. This is the plan, right?
That's just, oh my God.
This is bad. This is really bad.
So now, I mean, now they have four centers. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, that might be the best way to wrap up for now, Mort. I can't imagine topping Jahlil Okafor being one of the first free agents to sign in this market.
Nope. No, this seems like the time for lunacy is, yeah. Yeah, it seems to be a good spot. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Obviously, there are going to be more deals across the evening and during the night, which means I'm not going to get any sleep whatsoever, which is great. And like before we go, Brian, the over-under on how many more bigs the Detroit Pistons will be signing?
Should we set the line at like 2.5?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, that seems right.
Right?
Man, yeah. Well, yeah, we're around this weekend, so as news trickles in, I'm sure we will record again at some point. But in the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios, so give us a follow as well. You also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We are being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. And if you are on an iPhone or iPad, whatever, if you have an iOS device, check us out on Locker Room. We will be recording live episodes there wherever possible, so you can come hang out, ask questions, as you heard throughout the hour. If you're a Pistons fan, you can just come and spam us with, like, the what the F is my team doing, and we will laugh at you. That can also be – this is a safe space.
Yep.
You can just come and vent to us. But yeah, please check us out there as well. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Mort, don't go sign any centers while we're off.
I don't have any money to do so, so I don't think that's a problem. Later, okay, man, right. And don't die.
Thanks.